Aren't you glad that Jesus stepped in right when we needed him the most? If you need mercy and grace and forgiveness, you have it. You have it. And just in case you keep making mistakes, and I know most here aren't, but maybe somebody watching is or doing or whatever. You ever been foolish? Anybody ever? No? Okay. So the good part is Jesus interceded on our behalf. In spite of our foolishness, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our humanness, he took away all the things that we did wrong and what we could pay for and suffer for. He took that away for us in one day through his grace on the cross. So you've been forgiven. So we want to continue to go through life making less mistakes, right? That would be kind of okay, wouldn't it, right? So that'd be a good idea. Would you like to prevent some future pain, perhaps? Anybody here? Yes? Okay, so we have the right group here today. Even those watching, I see a few hands. Thank you for joining. So we're going to go to the scriptures this morning, and I'm going to give you a step-by-step way that you can prevent future pain. Wouldn't that be awesome? And I'm not talking about just physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain or consequences that we might face, mistakes that we make that give us not such great outcomes, not such great results. We can prevent a lot of things from happening in our life. Did you know that? Yes. Okay, somebody knows it. Okay, beautiful. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we're going to see how we can do such a thing through the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is we have the Holy Spirit in us, so there's a little bit less excuses for how we do what we do sometimes. Just want to let you know that. So we want to be paying attention to the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right? That'll stop a lot of problems in the future right there. So maybe I could end right there. How about that? No, I won't. So 1 Samuel chapter 25. David moved down to the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the village of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. How many of you could use a sensible and beautiful woman? Or a sensible and beautiful man, right? Either way, right? You notice the beautiful was secondary to what? Sensible. Having common sense. Being wise. So it would be always great to have somebody sensible around us, wouldn't it? And maybe we could be the sensible one sometimes for somebody else, can't we? So you see how that can work? All right, beautiful. Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was mean and dishonest in all his dealings. So this wasn't exactly the best kind of marriage, was it? So here's Abigail, who's sensible and beautiful, and here's Nabal, mean and dishonorable. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel. He told them to deliver this message: "Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that you're shearing your sheep and goats. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you that this is true. So would you please be kind to us, since we've come at a time of celebration? Please give us any provision you might have on hand." David's young men gave this message to Nabal and waited for his reply. So here, let me kind of give you a background understanding of this. It was quite common that when people had sheep and they were wealthy and so forth, very often people in the army, like David had his full army, they would go and protect the sheep from thieves and robbers. So they basically were doing a service to the shepherds that owned the sheep. So essentially what happened here was David's men protected, while the sheep shearing was taking place, his men went and protected those sheep and the shepherds from any thieves or robbers trying to steal the sheep away. Because remember, sheep were something, a part of their business that they had. So David's men did a good thing for Nabal, right? And it was quite customary when the people that did that, those armies that were there to protect, it would be not unlikely that the people that owned the property, the wealthy people, would then give food and provisions in payment, if you will, to the people that protected them, kind of like security guards for sheep. So they earn their keep, so to speak, right? So this is what David's asking for. He's not asking for any big gift, anything, special favors. He's just saying, well, here's what my guys did to protect your sheep. How about you give us some provisions? So, and he says, in a kind way, please be kind to us, right? So what do you think Nabal's going to do? Why would he say, oh, wait. He's mean and dishonest. He's a mean man. So David expects what? Kindness. You ever expect kindness from mean people? And are you ever disappointed? All the time, right? So lower your expectations. Don't expect somebody mean to be kind to you, okay? So we can drop that one right there. But needless to say, here's what Nabal says. Who is this fellow David? Nabal sneered. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? And maybe in today's language, it might even be worse words. You know what I'm saying? Who's this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. This is a bunch of bogus nonsense, is basically what Nabal's saying, right? Because he's mean and dishonest. Should I take my bread and water and the meat I've slaughtered for my sharers and give it to the band of outlaws who come from who knows where? Should I give anything to them? You see kind of how not only he's mean, he's selfish. My sheep, my food, my bread. So David's messengers returned and told him what Nabal had said. So what's David going to do? David, who's about to be eventually, he's been already anointed by Samuel prior to this, that he's going to become the king of Israel at some given point. He's running from Saul. That's the reason that he's out here at Carmel and places like that. So he's running away from Saul, but he's got a future ahead of him, doesn't he? To be king of Israel. No small thing. He's already been anointed by Samuel to do something great with his life. He's got a beautiful future in front of him, right? So, of course, when he hears what the messengers tell him, David's going to do what? Something wise and sensible, because it would protect him and prevent him from future pain, correct? I'll keep reading the story. You like the story so far? Let's see what happens here. Verse 13. Get your swords. And he strapped on his own. Four 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. So he's got 400 people to go take on Nabal, because Nabal won't share his food with them. I'm going to take my men, and I'm going in there, and I'm going to go kill everybody that's there. Great wise response, don't you think? For the future king of Israel, the man of God. Anointed. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent men from the wilderness to talk to our master, and he insulted them. But David's men were very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and to our sheep. Wow. You'd better think fast, for there's going to be some trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him, right? This is Nabal, right? No one can talk to this man. But he's got bad things coming, doesn't he? The results of him wanting not to give anything to David is going to cause him some bad stuff happening, right? Like 400 army people are going to come and attack him. Abigail lost no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 raisin cakes, and 200 fig cakes. She packed them on the donkeys and said to her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you shortly." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. Sensible woman, is she not? Smart. This woman's got some wisdom. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. Coming toward her. David had just been saying, a lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. May God deal with me severely if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. How's David acting? Pretty nonsensical too, right? He's acting like Nabal, correct? He's trying to do, evil for evil here, right? He's seeking what? Revenge. How dare he not give me some food? I'm going to knock him silly. And may God deal with me if I don't kill this man. Really? David's having a bad moment, I think. Anybody here ever slightly overreact to something that's happened in your life? Slightly ever so much like... I mean, the guy, I know Nabal's a bad guy and he's mean and everything. He's just not going to give David any food. Is that worth killing people over? Is that worth him losing his kingship later on? You think if David follows through and goes and kills Nabal, do you think God is going to be okay with that, seeking revenge? One decision that David's about to make out of a reaction, emotional reaction, out of revenge, out of hatred, out of just sheer, how dare you do this to me? Suddenly, he's going to possibly ruin everything for his future, is he not? Yeah. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept all blame for this matter. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him." Speaking as a woman who has wisdom, correct? Who's going to potentially save David from doing something that he's going to regret when? And may very well lose the past possibility of becoming king, right? If he commits this murderous sin, correct? Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord, correct? He is a fool, just as his name suggests. Fool. What's a fool? How do we define a fool? Somebody who acts foolishly without thinking, right? That would be considered a fool. Somebody who gets fooled into doing something wrong, even though they could know the right path. See how Satan very often tries to fool us into thinking that if somebody hurts us, we're to do what? Retaliate, right? If somebody throws something bad on us and we don't deserve it, sometimes our emotional person clicks in and we suddenly want to do what? Seek vengeance upon them, right? See how we get fooled and tricked into doing something possibly bad? Yes, right? But we don't want any future pain, do we? No. Very nice. Okay. I'll keep going here. See what else she has to say. "My Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present I brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I've offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles and you have not done wrong." "Even when you are chased by those who seek your life, you're safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones from a sling." Oh, does David relate to that? The sling, right? Right? This woman's something. When the Lord had done all he promised and made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then you won't have to carry on your conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me. What is Abigail doing? She's stepping in, right? She's stepping in to talk some common sense, to talk David out of doing something that's not in his best interest. And or think about the people that, you know, it's one thing if David was going to go, you know, slug it out with Nabal, but he's going to go murder everybody and everything that's there and just decimate the place. Slightly overreacting to, I can't get any food from this guy. All those innocent people, their lives could be lost because of vengeance, because of anger, because of retaliation. And who could lose the most? Not only those lives, but who else? David. And think about the future generations that Jesus is one of the descendants of David. Think about the future, how it could have been changed by one man's foolish act. See, there's two fools in the story, Nabal and David. Sorry. He is, right? He's acting out of his emotions. When we act out of our emotions, we get ourselves into big, deep trouble, do we not? Aren't you glad that Abigail showed up to stop David from doing this awful thing? A sensible person showed up. Aren't you glad that around each and every one of us there are sensible people? Aren't you glad? And aren't you glad you're one of those sensible people who stops and thinks before you react and overreact? Aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit within you to guide you and to direct you and say, whoa, let God take care of this. You're in his treasure pouch. Let God take care of your enemies. Let God take care of the injustices. Let God take care of the people that are trying to hurt you. You don't sin. You don't hurt others. You don't judge them and retaliate. Because I have a great future for you. That's what God has. We saw that in Jesus, correct? How many times could he have retaliated and called down fire from heaven and destroyed all of his enemies? And some days we kind of ask for that, don't we? God, can you just smite these people? But Jesus came to save the people. He came to intercede, because who hasn't been foolish in this room or watching? How many of us can be just like either Nabal, where, oh, I don't like that people, so I'm not going to give them anything, or on the other side of it, they didn't give me anything, so I'm going to retaliate against them. Can we not do that, right, sometimes? But see, we are going to stop and think, aren't we? We're going to ask for God to send us a lot of Abigails. We're going to ask you to become an Abigail. See, Abigail really, her name means brings joy. Yeah, what a name. Nabal meant fool, probably his nickname, because he acted like a fool. So he got that nickname. But Abigail brought joy. She interceded just like Christ interceded for us. For all the times we have been foolish like David or others or Nabal, Jesus came and he interceded on our behalf to talk sense to us, to help us to change and grow, right? So he's trying to help us change and be different. And on the other side of that, even when we were foolish, he forgives us anyway. He doesn't seek vengeance on us. He doesn't pay us back and punish us, right? Good news this morning, is it not? So the story, to me, shows us a few things. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll have a lot of wisdom. And although I only gave you one scripture from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 12:15, which says, fools think their own way is right. How many of us are always right? In our own eyes some days, right? And sometimes the things we think we're right about are not so right at all. But wise people listen to others. If you want true wisdom, you know, the thing about what happens here, David was prevented from destroying all those people's lives and destroying his own life. Why? Because God stepped in, right? God sent a person, Abigail, to go stop David from doing something foolish and ruining his future. I believe and I know and I trust that throughout all of our lives, God puts people in our lives one time or another. If you can think back to those times when you almost made that fatal, awful mistake and somebody stepped in and said, I wouldn't do that right now. You might want to pray about this, or you may want to think about this. You may want to hold off on this. Something bad could happen here in the future. Because most of us humans, are we not in the moment, people? Impulsive, compulsive, obsessive, compulsive, impulsive, right? However, so many people can ruin their present and future by not stopping and thinking. If all David did on his own would have been, well, okay, guys, all right, you know this Nabal, we know he's dishonest, we know he's mean, we'll find, God will provide for our needs. Some other people will help us. We're not going to react to him. We're not going to pay attention to him. We're just going to go out and protect other sheep and other shepherds and so on and so forth. And I'm going to be king someday, and I'm going to rule in a different way. I'm going to rule the way God rules. What if David had used that kind of stop and think mentality? Maybe Abigail wouldn't have needed to show up. But aren't you glad Abigail did? Yes. Psalm 4:4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. So I promised you that I'm going to help you with your future, right? I'm going to help you avoid pain in the future. How about that? You want that this morning? So I'm going to give you some awesome, wonderful, godly advice that's going to be so profound, it's going to change your life so drastically this moment going forward. Are you ready to hear that advice? Are you ready to use that advice? That's part B. Hearing and not doing, and knowing and not doing, you don't know, right? So I'm going to teach you something today. You ready to learn something today about how to have a better future and prevent future pain? Are you ready for it? Use the 10-second rule. All right, I want everybody to count to 10 with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can do it. You did it. We did it together. Before you make any decision, particularly if you hear something or something happens that you don't quite like, or you're about to make a decision, what to say to somebody, what to do with someone, something that in your life that you want to change, some big change you're going to make in your life and move from one place to another, or go tell somebody what you really think of them when they've hurt your feelings. Before you do that, you're going to do what? 2, 3, right. You're going to count to 10. And for those of you that have done that and you still are wanting to do what you want to do, then I'm going to give you the overnight rule, which you saw in the book of Psalm. Especially when you're emotionally either afraid or angry about something. Something you can't control. Somebody you can't control. Some things that you can't control. Oh, you can't control anything, can you? So when you can't, but you want to, and you want to do something, you're going to wait when? Overnight. And when you wake up, see if you still want to eat that piece of pie that was in the refrigerator after all. See if you want to buy that new sparkly car. I'm sorry, I have to tell my car people, sorry. Or if you want to go tell somebody what, you know, they... And if that doesn't work, and you still are trying to do something that you don't know whether really God is asking you to do it, ask yourself the question, how can this affect my life in the future? How will this affect my life in the future? If I quit my job today and go live on an island, how will that affect my life in the future? Ask yourself the question. So you can also have a 3-day, a 7-day, and a 40-day wait. Some of us need that. So if you've counted to 10 and you stop and you think before you do, before you say, before you act, and then you move from that to overnight, and then you move it to 3-day, 7-day, 40-day, most of the time, most likely, you'll be using wisdom, will you not? See, David acted rashly without thinking about the future consequences, didn't he? If each and every one of us would think, if I do this right now, and even though it feels good, sounds good, looks good, smells good, feels good, did I already mention that one? How is it going to affect my tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and more importantly, eternity? We have to stop and think before we make rash decisions, because rash means in a hurry, right? Impulsively, just reacting. We humans, we're not like animals who have instinct. If I step on my dog's toe, she bites me. It's an instinct. And I can logically explain to her how that's not a good thing. And she should count to 10 before she bites me. However, my dog doesn't know how to count to 10. But that's an animal, right? Now, on the other side of it, if my wife steps on my toe, I have to count to 100 or so before I react, right? We're not like animals. We can think. God gave us beautiful, wise minds when we apply them. Proverbs 20:22 says, "Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter." See, the book of Proverbs is just so replete with so much wisdom. So, you want to avoid pain in the future? Stop and think before you speak or act. Stop and think. What would God have me do? How is this going to affect my future or the future of other people's lives? How will this help me spiritually grow? Now, the good thing is we know that all of us have Abigails in our life, do we not? Sensible people. Church is full of them. And if you're trying to make a decision about something, or if somebody hurt you or harmed you, because that could very well happen, there might be some more people like Nabal around, right, that are mean and dishonest. There might be people around us that always don't have our best good in mind. And we also know that we have an enemy, Satan, who tries to trick us into thinking that we're justified by retaliating against somebody else when they hurt us, right? Or how we need to talk sense into somebody by yelling at them. Do you notice the difference between how Abigail approached David? Brought him some food, talked to him sensibly, quietly, right? She didn't say, "What are you thinking?" She was calm in the way she approached. So for those of you that are Abigails, sensible people, first of all, that means you're not going to react and respond impulsively anymore, correct? You're going to think about, how will this affect my future? How will this affect my reputation? How will this make people think more about God or less about God by the way I react? How will I be perceived by others in terms of whether or not they see me as someone who's sensible or a fool who needs God's intervention? All of us need to listen to other voices of reason sometimes, don't we? And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. And sometimes you might have been praying about something and needing an answer about something, and God sends that person to you who just gives you a different point of view. Maybe you weren't thinking of it whatsoever. That's God using someone to intercede on your behalf. to help you, to avoid future pain. So far you have what you're going to do, right? So no matter what you're going to do moving forward, whether it's what you choose to eat today, what you choose to spend your money on today, who you choose to be around today, the decisions that you make today, you're going to do what? Stop and think before you act or speak. Just take a little pause. Count to 10. And if I see your head going like this when you're talking to me, I know you're counting because maybe I got to push a button of yours. So before you react, I hope you get to 10 and then go, I think that's better left unsaid. Right? Use reason over reaction. So anybody need any decisions that they have to make? Anybody have anything going on in their life that for which you need some wisdom? Seek God's counseling and counsel. Ask somebody who has wisdom. Not only because they're older than you, but especially they can be younger than you, but they've got that wisdom. For all of us that have been fools in the past, we can really tell all of you what not to do as well. So listen to that voice of reason as well. So we're going to count down now because the sermon's going to end. What number do you want to count down from? Very good. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen.